This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Produced by Copilot Music and Sound.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Slightly different intro.
I'm bored of this. Welcome back, all smileys. Happy days.
Welcome back. That's an old show from the 70s, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Why would I know that?
You wouldn't. This is where I teach you.
Okay.
Welcome back. What's up?
Not much. What's up with you, dude?
Man, I'm tired. I'm tired for three reasons.
Okay.
Number one, I finished my semester. I handed my last paper in yesterday.
All right.
Number two, I got Pfizer number two on Monday, and that kind of knocked me down a notch a little bit.
Yep.
And number three, I had a little hangout with my buddy Fredo last night. So I'm a little
tired.
Shout
out to Fredo.
Shout out.
Does he listen?
You know, he's a little shifty about whether he listens or not. I better get him to listen to this episode and tell him that we're talking about him.
About him.
This is also a good episode for him to listen to because there's a song with a pretty good bass line featured.
Oh my gosh, yes, that's amazing.
And Fredo, for all of you listening, is the bass player in the Sons and Heirs, the Smiths tribute band I play in, and my bud.
Kind of played in, though, at this point.
Well, we'll see, you know.
We'll see, hopefully, but
yeah,
I think it'll be outdoor concerts till the end of time. but you might be tired, but you're going to put on a good face, and we're going to do a good show today.
Yeah.
Episode. Sorry, I've been watching too much iCarly. They're like, hey, we did a great show today. Let's get into the episode, okay?
Yeah.
What song are we doing?
Well, let's listen for our sponsor message first.
Oh, good point.
Cool.
Thank you.
So, today we're doing 5 Seconds of Summer, Teeth. Should we listen to some of it?
Yeah.
All right.
5 SOS, 5 Seconds of Summer, Teeth.
Teeth.
Now, this is a little bit of a different song than we normally do. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can say that. But it's like more on the rock side, pop rock, kind of.
It's kind of rock for you. I was surprised you picked this song, Willa.
It's kind of gritty.
Yeah, gritty. That's a good descriptor.
It was in Wikipedia. It was like, I forget his name, but he was like, last name says Teeth is like a new gritty song that they're putting out. So use that word.
Okay. Well, let's listen.
You're surprised I picked this?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Teeth.
Love that bass line.
Some days you're the only thing I know. Only thing that's burning when the nights grow cold. Can't look away, can't look away. Beg you to stay, beg you to stay, yeah. Sometimes you're a stranger in my bed. Don't know if you love me or you want me dead. Push me away, push me away. Then beg me to stay, beg me to stay, yeah. Call me in the morning to apologize.
Here's the rock part.
Fight so dirty, but your love so sweet. Talk so pretty, but your heart got teeth.
Kick drum key just keeps going.
Yeah. Put your hands on me. And never, 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 ever let go. Fight so dirty, but your love so sweet.
It's more grungy in the end, but yeah.
Oh yeah, fading it down just on the wah-uh-uh-oh sound, which is one of my favorite parts of the song.
Yeah.
So
pretty good. Well, in the last episode, you said was more of rock, and I was like, hey, pop rock. And so you said, well, we'll have to determine that in the next episode. So before we get into the questions, what genre do you really think this is? It's like a cross between.
It's definitely, it's definitely pop rock, but when you say pop rock, you think of like something that sounds probably happier or like funkier or bluesier or I don't know.
But this is like.
This has a little bit of darkness, and where my brain goes is a genre of music that became popular in the 90s.
Grunge.
No.
What? What?
And of course, all my references go back to the 90s because that was a formative time in my musical career. But industrial. It's like
whenever I hear that word, I think of a big factory.
Right. Well, that's a good reference for you to have because industry refers to, you know, businesses,
the economy, yes,
building things, industrial, yeah. And like when you look in sound effects libraries, for example, and you look for industrial sounds, you get sounds of factories and sounds of machines. And one of the things that industrial music has is they use a lot of machines and machine-like sounds, and it's very mechanical. And one of the things that's like the giveaway for this feeling industrial to me is that kick drum I mentioned when we were listening to that, poof, 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 like it's so mechanical. You could almost like, it's like a machine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Industrial also uses like a lot of, it's always dark, kind of, you know, often minor key.
Yeah. Talked about
aggressive and often uses like distortion and like samples of I don't know metal hits and you know things that like
that's a
sound
yeah
dirty and dark
that metal hits that's a great segue into my next question
okay
can we go in? Or my first question sorry I guess
yeah
that genre question was like a question in and of itself but so my first question is so in the first verse once it picks up, it's kind of got, like, a beat that kind of, to me, sounds like blurred out, like, clanking metal. Like, what is it, the digital or physical sound that is, like, being produced as kind of like the beat in the metronome? Now, I suggest you play the first verse again from the beginning until the pre-chorus, and I'll tell you what you mean.
Let me take it a little bit into the...
Yeah.
You're a stranger in my bed. Don't know if you love me or you want me dead. Push me away, push me
that
away.
That sound.
Beg me to stay, beg
I don't
me
know
to
if listeners
stay.
Are picking up on this.
Call me in the morning,
it's kind of a faint sound when you
yeah,
first listen to it, but then you kind of hear it and then it sticks out and it's like, here, you can do the singing. I'll be like the ch- ch- oh, never mind. You don't know the lyrics. I mean, you have them pulled up. You have them pulled up.
Call like, me in the morning to apologize. I can't sing this. Every little lie gives... Oh, no, no.
That's the pre-chorus.
That's the pre-chorus. Okay. Some days you're the only thing I know. Only thing that's burning.
Obviously, I can't produce a metal sound from my mouth.
It's like a...
like a clank or something.
Yeah, so...
So, like, what is that sound? Like, is it digital, physical?
I mean, you always, like, ask these kinds of what is that sound questions.
Yeah, I know. And, well, that's what I ask when I, like, need a...
And without being the producer, I can't tell you for sure how every sound is produced. But my take is it's probably coming from a drum machine because
okay.
It's part of the drum part. You know, the kick drum comes in and it's basically playing on the twos and fours. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Like a snare, but it's not as full as a snare and it's not as thin as a hi-hat. So I'm thinking it's a clap sound. And oftentimes with drum machines, clap sounds are actually made by just producing... like white noise. Not a sample of a clap, but a synthesized clap. So let me
wait. Also, just to say, just before you do this, I'm sorry. Are these what is this sound questions getting boring? Just a quick little and listeners, you can write a review.
Yeah,
anything.
Don't ask me. Ask the listeners.
Yeah. So if you guys are getting bored by like every little teensy weensy detail of this production talk, then definitely say it.
No, but I mean, this is like, this is how you learn how to listen and identify sounds, and then maybe as you learn to produce things yourself, you could use them. So I pulled up, and I don't find the questions boring. I just, like, what I'm saying is that sometimes I can't give you a firm answer because it could be almost anything that's been transformed in the computer to sound like something else.
Yeah, but anyway, so what do you think it is?
I think it's a clap from a drum machine, and so I pulled up a set of different drum machine claps so it could kind of go through and see which one sounds like that one. And
yeah,
maybe,
so listeners,
so let me play through
I
some
hope
of
you
these.
Picked up on the sound we're talking about.
Does that sound like it?
Play back the verse again. Here, I can take the...
So you take the reins on the
okay,
Spotify
so here's
machine.
The sound that we're talking about, so...
Me dead, push me away,
okay, pause
push
it.
Me away.
It's got kind of like a pitch.
It's a little lower. This has too much decay.
It's the sound in that I'm hearing is kind of like... has like a little like a metal like pitch, like clank or something.
Something like this, right?
Yeah.
Try it again.
Okay. 1 second. Alright, here we go.
My bed. Don't know if you love me or you want me dead. Push
here,
me.
I think it's not exact. But it's kind of
yeah,
like it's the
it's
closest.
Short kind of
yeah.
Hand clap sound.
So basically it's just a drum clap. Synthesized clap machine.
Yeah, so when you would get an old drum machine, let me show you.
He is getting his old drum machine. He actually posted a photo of this. We talked about it on the Save Your Tears episode.
See, this is actually good. It's good because having a physical object like this, like a Roland TR-505, shows you how drum machines were designed originally, and that gives you a clue into how they're used later on. Where's my phone?
Oh, it's right here.
This thing is humming. Okay, let's get that down there. But, so, look at the buttons on this, and then read off what each button does.
There's a high conga, low conga, timbal, I don't know what that
timbale.
Is. Timbale. Low cowbell, high cowbell, hand clap. Oh, there we go.
Hand clap.
This
thing's not plugged in. But I just wanted
so
to show
dumb.
You that this would be a standard sound that you would get in a drum machine.
Yeah, and if you want to see this in person, check out our Instagram page. We use this as a reference in Save Your Tears episode. Yeah, so.
And it also goes back to the sort of reference to the genre of industrial music, which started really in the like kind of the 80s and 90s. And they were using these actual machines. They weren't doing anything in the computer
The machines
yet.
You just showed me.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, exactly.
The machine. Now, we're not talking about a big machine, obviously. I said you could see it on Instagram. Yeah. But, like, it's kind of like a rectangular.
But now people don't use these. Now people use something, you know.
Digital. Like you just played the clap.
Yeah, this will be.
On digital.
Yeah, you can go into GarageBand and search for claps under electric. What the thing is, you're going to want to go under the electronic drums and not the acoustic drums.
Yeah, okay.
So there's your clap.
Okay. Okay, well, oh, sorry. I just got tired for a second. So question number two. So is the guitar that you hear, like, throughout the chorus, like an electronic guitar or a physical electric guitar or just, like, a synthesizer or synthesized guitar? Like, can you play a demo of what, like... Like the actual, is it like a real guitar, an electronic guitar, or just a synthesizer noise that sounds like a guitar?
Which now, sound here, are you talking about?
Which sound? Okay, so let me play the chorus for everyone. It might be the first time for some listeners hearing this song, so let's see. Is this around the chorus? Okay.
So dirty, but you love so sweet.
The thing that's like, and then the Elsa.
So pretty, but
it's like a buzzy sound. It's like
the going bum 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 bum
that
sound.
Yeah, and then where it goes down
Okay. Oh, and then there's the thing that goes when exact at the on when the exact like, note and time when he says sweet.
Yeah, or sweet.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
And there's that thing there.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first, those are two different things.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
New news to me.
So the lower sound is definitely it's definitely a bass, an electric bass.
An electric bass?
With
not
fuzz on it, yeah.
Not when, a guitar, a bass.
Yeah. Maybe doubled with a synthesizer. And then the second sound is a guitar, is an electric guitar.
Okay, so let me play it again with this new point of view. Listeners, listen to. Okay, so the is a bass, and then the sweet sound, not his voice, but there's a sound right when he says sweet. That's a guitar. So, am I correct?
Yeah. Hi. So, let me see.
My dad's got his bass out.
Why am I not hearing this yet? There it is. Okay, so the you know how the song starts out with an electric bass?
Yes.
That's like the main figure going like.
Yeah, I actually have a question about that later in the question thingamajig. Huh. Yeah, but this bass sounds completely different to the one that.
Right. So bass players decided at some point when they saw guitar players having fun with distortion pedals. Do you know what distortion pedals are?
Pedals that distort.
Good. Very smart. Yes. So they're first of all, electric guitar players started to just play too loud for their amplifiers, and the sound used to get distorted. Just like anything can distort a speaker if you put it too hot through the speaker, right?
Yeah.
You've heard speakers distort before.
No.
Well, yeah, you have. Like,
I have? Okay.
Somebody's, like, shouting into a phone, it gets distorted.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, or something's too loud for the camera phone, for the audio on your phone when you're videoing something, and it gets all crunchy.
Yeah.
So, guitar players... Ooh, the sun just came out. Guitar players started to like that sound, and then they started to kind of build devices that could make that sound without having to destroy their amplifiers.
Yeah.
So they made distortion pedals.
You following along, listeners? Like,
which boosted up the sound through circuitry to create distortion. So, and then bass players were like, well, what if we try those pedals? So this, the bass line goes...
Were the bass players jealous?
And then if I put this over on a channel with... I don't know why the claps were happening randomly. That was very strange.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's... So now I have a distortion pedal on it, and my bass is feeding back because it's coming through the speakers. But anyway, if I play that, it goes... Listen to this.
So it's a bass being played that's distorted. Here, play along.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now can we hear that sweet teeth? Well, because when he's like, talk so pretty, but you got the teeth.
So,
whatever that guitar sounds.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to play that.
Yeah, but like, is it distorted? Like, can you tell me and the listeners if it's like not just a plain old guitar sound, if it's a real, you know?
It's definitely a real guitar sound, and...
Or does it have like distortion?
It has distortion, but it's a very specific thing that the guitar player's doing where they're playing an octave. You know what an octave is?
Well, obviously. Okay. I play piano.
Right.
You
so
know,
if it's a
C1
or
a C2.
So the guitar player is playing an octave, and on the higher note, the guitar player is playing one step below the octave, but then bending the string up until it just about hits the pitch.
I'm not sure if I completely understand. I'm kind of rocking on a boat right now.
Actually,
but I kind of get what you're saying. I kind of understand. So, have you ever done this, like when you're playing guitar? Or?
I'm not good at these. What? Let me turn this clap thing off. Okay, let me see. Let me just play this through the bass distortion track and see what that sounds like.
Wait, Dad, you're gonna edit this part out, right?
No.
Oh.
So here's an octave. And then that's half a step down, and then but then if I hit it and I bend it up.
Whoa.
Huh. You hear how it gets that shriek?
Yeah, it's like a okay.
It's funny, I have a name for those, and they're called...
Wait, is this like a real name, or is it like a dad name?
You know, musicians are funny creatures. They come up with their own language and terms for things over the years, and gets passed around in studios and bands. I call these green-eyed ladies. And
green-eyed ladies?
Yeah, and I learned that from a guy that I used to work with at Sacred Noise, the Jingle House I worked at for a long time. It's another composer and guitar player named Pete Rundquist. And I don't know, just at some point, like, I was trying to do one of those, and he was like, oh, you're trying to play a green-eyed lady. So when I was thinking about that sound today, I was like, wait a minute, where does that... I know he said it came from a song, so here, let me play Green-Eyed Lady. I found it on Spotify. It sounds like, and this will be in the playlist for today's episode. I love that we're doing this now.
But Dad, have you been publicizing? Or I mean, making the playlist public?
Yeah, I have. Okay. So this is a band called Sugarloaf, and the song is called Green Eyed Lady.
Here that goes. Sound ready.
Wee wee. Hear that sound? It's like a very specific...
You were right.
Yeah, it's a very specific gesture. Like, and you can only produce it on an electric guitar with distortion, playing an octave, bending the top note up from a step below.
So scientific.
I know. It's just... But it's a cool sound, right? Jimi Hendrix did that a lot also.
Down to a science.
Yeah. So those are green-eyed ladies.
Green-eyed ladies.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone calls them. Oh, I don't know. That was embarrassing. Moving on to question 3. Oh, wait, is there anything else you wanted to say for question 2?
Well, there's a... Okay. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Okay, so that's... Yes, is the answer.
I do want to say one other thing.
About the guitar / bass.
Yeah, which is that... There is there's actually like a music production reference when I hear that bass with the lyric of the song, which is called Teeth. Because when you create a waveform in a synthesizer, there are different kinds of waveforms.
Do listeners know what waveforms are? Maybe you want to add some context.
So sound is produced by oscillation of energy, right? So,
yeah, but before you continue, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to say listeners are dumb or they don't know anything. I'm just making sure they're on the same page. Please. Most of our listeners are adults, family members, older than me, so not dumb.
Okay, so the oscillation of energy is presented visually as like a line that goes over... a horizontal, representing the oscillation, and a very clear, pure sound like you would produce with a clarinet is called a sine wave. And it has this nice curvy flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, so what you can do is you can electronically create a sine wave, and that sounds like this. You hear how clean that is?
Mm-hmm.
But you can make the wave shape different to get, like, sort of dirtier, edgier sound.
So, like...
And there are different shapes, and one of the shapes that's common in synthesizer productions is called sawtooth.
Sawtooth.
Sawtooth. Come over here for a sec.
Like rigid edges and...
Come over to the screen for a second.
Okay, Dad, just a recommendation. We should probably take a screenshot of what we mean. Like,
yeah, we will.
We could post this and
yeah, we'll post photos. A screenshot. Okay, come over here. So you see the sine wave? See how it curves like that?
Mm-hmm.
And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to this one where I'm using, see this?
Yep.
That's a sawtooth. Now listen to the sound. Here it's got that like edge to it.
Yeah.
So the funny thing.
Wait, the first one is that one.
The first one is this one, okay. Which is a sine wave. Now we're getting a little obscure here, but here's the sawtooth again.
Yeah, no, all our listeners can't really see what we're doing.
Yeah, but the thing is, when I started breaking the song down in terms of production, I was actually thinking about how the song is called Teeth, and when you talk about sounds in the studio, one of the things you say about synthesizer sounds is like, does that sound? Is it smooth or is it toothy? And toothy means it's kind of got like some bite because it comes from a sawtooth.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty weird digression, huh? So what other questions do you got?
A few more. But before we do that, there is a video on our socials of... where you can see the actual synthesizer pad, I guess, synth pad,
mm-hmm.
that my dad had pulled up on his big monitor.
Yeah.
With the line or the shapes and waveforms and his keyboard. So you can go watch that if you're kind of like in like you have no idea what we're saying. Like, like I don't know what you're talking about. So you can go check that out. Question 3. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, nothing else to say. So is there, like, any modulation from the chorus to the verse or pre-chorus to chorus? Like why is this song so, like, catchy? Like, why does it stay in my head? And, like, what is it about the melody and
there's
the way there that the song kind of, like, sings? And...
There's no modulation.
Yeah.
And it's, like most of the song is on the one chord, on that, which is... E flat.
Wait, how did you know that? I'm not questioning, but like, how'd you figure that out?
because I've been playing it on keyboard. Yeah,
obviously.
So, it's just kind of like pedaling on that, and
yeah,
then
I'm not really talking about like the bass or guitar. I'm talking about
The
chorus.
The pre-chorus and the chorus?
And, yeah, the singing.
The pre-chorus is the most interesting part to me. Because, first of all, there's a lot of production stuff that happens to make it feel like a real big build.
You think?
Yeah.
Like what?
There's, like, filter sweeps going on.
Okay.
You can hear filters opening up, like, from very small to very big. And almost like a whoosh in the background. It almost feels like a big moment in a club track, like a disco house track.
Yeah. Now, if listeners haven't really heard the song, if they haven't heard the song very much, and it's not very catchy to them yet or appealing, can I just play the pre-chorus to the chorus?
Yeah, but let me just mention something before we play that, so they can listen for it.
Okay.
So the big thing about the pre-chorus, which I want to explain, is that it's not a modulation, but what's really effective is the way that. The way that they go with the major third in the melody very briefly. So the song is in E flat minor, which and you know that a minor chord, the main thing that distinguishes a major chord from a minor chord,
can I say it?
Is
major third, minor third.
Right.
You mostly change the shape. Third.
Yeah, so the third would be this G flat in if you're in E flat. And then da da da. That's the major third.
Okay, so listen for
and
that.
And then...
So wait, can you play the melody again for the pre-chorus?
It goes...
You could kind of sing it. You have your lyrics up there, but...
Da-na-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-da-da-da. It lands on the E-flat major.
Yeah, maybe you could see when this happens when we play it, but...
Yeah, and that... The way that it lands on that... major third briefly in the pre-chorus is what I think makes it what makes that section work so well and be so
catchy.
Yeah, catchy.
Beautiful.
Here,
okay.
Here you can cue up that section.
All right, here we go. Spotify. All right, sorry. Aha. Here we go. Oop. Excuse me.
Me dead. Push me away.
Coming up, pre-chorus. Coming up.
Beg me to stay, beg me to stay. Yeah.
Pre-chorus now.
Come in the morning to a bonfire. Every little eye gives me butterflies.
Oh, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Okay, stop it there. Out alive.
Out alive.
So you see how he comes back to the
minor
third. So it's that interplay
but
between major and minor third.
So it's like I'm not saying that right. Okay.
Way to find the pitch there, Will. Are you tone deaf?
I don't sing.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you do. Okay. And then, so the second time, it goes back to the minor.
But when you get that major,
yeah.
It's really, okay.
So there's a Rihanna song that I found that does this really well.
What's it called?
It's in the playlist.
In the playlist.
In the Songs to Discuss playlist. Do you see it?
Teeth, yep. Shut Up and Drive?
Yeah, play that.
Any place you want me to fast forward to?
I think probably the chorus, but... This song
this
actually
is Rihanna?
Has... Yeah. And this has a pretty industrial sound, too. Hear that? So it's Closet.
Is this an E flat? Or I mean, E flat minor?
No,
is
it's in.
Rihanna song?
It's in C sharp minor. But so you hear that? It's the flipping between the major third and the minor third?
Yeah.
That was.
Here, can we hear it again?
Yeah.
Just to get this molded into my brain.
Pretty hardcore.
For Rihanna, yeah.
Yeah, rough.
Wow, I never think we'd be talking about a 5 Seconds of Summer song, and we hear Rihanna in the episode.
Well, and you know, if you listen to blues and jazz, there's a whole world between the major third and the minor third.
Yeah, well, hasn't rock been, like, built off of blues and...
Right, but the blue note...
Blue note, huh?
When you hear about... blues, jazz. When you hear it, give me my phone because it's buzzing again.
Okay.
Oh, there. I don't know. It's like when it touches something, it starts to hum. When the blue note happens, there's like this whole world between the major third and the minor third, pitch-wise, that's in between where you bend your voice or you bend the string, and you're kind of like making the ear kind of try to figure out whether you're major or minor. And that's called the blue note.
Okay, cool.
Not impressed.
No. I was just kind of facetious. That was like a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I was there. Is that all you want to say?
Yeah.
That? Okay, so I'm going to need to play the outro for 5 seconds of Summer Teeth, because my next question revolves around the outro.
Oh, okay, here you go.
In the outro, what is that, like, screeching falsetto-like, but also not falsetto-like sound? So I'll play it for you, so.
Oopsies. Cue it up, baby.
Fast forward. All right. Was that the guitar sound again?
Yeah, that's the Green-Eyed Lady.
Okay. Whee! That's the Green-Eyed Lady. Okay, I was about to say this question might have already been answered yet, but I didn't because I can't really hear the Green-Eyed Lady very well when the guy is saying, like, when the singer is like, teet, teet. Wait, sorry. Teet.
Well, that's the nice thing about the outro is you get to hear that sound on its own.
Yeah, so here, you can hear it again. And this was the grungy part I was talking about.
That riff at the end, here, you're getting tangled. Give it to me. That riff at the end where the guitar actually goes up and goes, that's a famous guitar player, and I was so excited to see that he was playing that part. You know who that is?
Well, I saw you doing some research, so
Tom Morello.
Tom Morello, that was it. I knew guitarist. It was Tom M. Sweet. This guy played a demo while they were, or this guy was doing this, or they just took one of them, something that Tom Morello did.
They didn't sample it. No, he played on it.
He played on the track.
Oh,
that's cool. So it's not from like another song he did, but it's just something that he kind of.
No, he was like a guest musician.
So Tom Morello's not part of 5 Seconds.
No, he's part of a pretty awesome band from the 90s called Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine.
So you know when, like, mommy shouts, "It's capitalism!"
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine is an activist band that was super political.
Super political. Okay.
And awesome in their taking a stand against racism, against capitalism, against all of the various oppressions.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, window into our life. It's capitalism!
Here's some Rage Against the Machine. This is called Killing in the Name.
But this is Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah.
Whoa, that intro is wacky.
Yeah. Pretty hard rock. That's Tom Morello playing the guitar there. Great guitar player. It's amazing back in the 90s how long you could go before getting to the vocals, right?
Yeah. That was such an intro. Or the intro's still going.
And now we're in a different rhythmic feel.
Some of those that work forces.
Are we listening to this whole thing?
No.
Some
of
those that work forces are the same that bar crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that bar crosses. Some of those that work forces draw the same that bar crosses.
This is music that's very like
grungy. I'm not into grunge.
No, but it's very appropriate for our time. It's like protest music.
Okay, yeah.
And
I'm not into hard grunge, like screaming, but Teeth, I'm good with because they're singing.
I was not very political when this music was coming out. I kind of like was just into like music that was fun to make and fun to write. And I have much deeper appreciation for what they were doing now than I did then.
Okay.
So I was excited to see Tom Morello.
Yeah.
On there. There you go.
Well,
a little Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine!
You may not be ready for Rage Against the Machine right now, but you may come to them on your own in the next few years.
What do you mean? Like their content is explicit, or you just don't think I'll like it or anything?
It's not so much the language. They have bad words in their lyrics, but it's more like it's very angry.
Raging.
Yeah. Rage against, it's not think about the machine and write about the machine. It's rage against the machine. And that's what the music feels like.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. That was hardcore intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to your point, everyone has to put a bad word in pop music these days. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. And it makes it hard to do this show with you sometimes.
I know. We have to find clean versions. And
yeah. So any other questions?
Yes. The finale,
mm-hmm.
which is something that you brought up earlier. So if you had to compare the intro bass line to other notable bass lines in history, what would you compare it to? Because I find this bass line really good. It's just great. It's just the intro of the song. It says, so can you play the bass line for Teeth? It's just in the first second. That's
yep. Let's see.
I think this is a great bass line.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I know? So
some days you're the only.
So I'm sure there's a bass line that's very similar to this out there that I haven't found yet.
Are there any Dua Lipa bass lines that are as good as this? Because Dua Lipa's bass lines.
No, her bass lines are very different. They're very
they're more of a rhythm.
Funky, syncopated. You know what syncopation is, right?
It's beats not on the beat. It's one and.
Yeah,
two,
lots of anticipations and ghost notes. This is
So this is not this is different.
These are quarter notes. It's going right with the kick drum. Doom, doom, eighth note, quarter, eighth note. Very straight. So I couldn't find a bass line that really.
But is there anything you could like?
But it made me think of two different things. It made me think of a song by Muse, which has a similar vibe, but rhythmically it's I think the Muse song is in 6/8, but somehow in 6/8 has this driving feeling. Let me play you a little bit of this Muse song. Muse is a great.
Not music.
Muse. Okay. Muse. Band from maybe they were around in the late 90s, but really early 2000s, I think of them, and really phenomenal musicians. Here's a very famous song that they did.
The vibes.
So it's.
It gets in quicker, though. It's not got a. You don't hear the bass.
So this is swung. But it's just got that driving feel. And then, you know what they'd use is the Green-Eyed Ladies.
No surprise here.
Wait for it. Very driving, simple, bass and drums.
Yeah. Where does the bass that you really think is? You can compare this to. Oh.
You hear the Green-Eyed Ladies?
But right,
yes, yeah, you have longer intros. Now, because everything is streaming.
Yes, because everything's streaming, you want the listener up.
You gotta hook the listener in within 5 seconds. They could just skip to something else.
Yeah.
Back then, you'd pop a CD in and it would be kind of annoying to skip ahead. But his voice also reminds me a little bit of 5 Seconds of Summer. Or is it vice versa?
Yeah.
Like the vibe? This whole stylistic vibe.
Yeah, but you're saying that, like, yeah, but like now that everything's online, it's streamable.
So a couple other songs I pulled. Again, just like bass, drums, very driving pop songs. This is a song by a band called Blur, which is a British band from the 90s.
Uprising.
This is called Girls and Boys.
Oh, whoopsies.
This is a big, big hit from like the dance parties that like I would go to with mommy when we were first dating, called Tiz Was in New York City.
So, Uprising was the song we just heard.
Yeah, Uprising was Muse. This is...
Girls and ladies?
Girls and boys. Again, four on the floor. That quarter note kick drum, the prominent bass line.
Does everyone hear the bass there? Streets
like a jungle. Obviously the vocal styling is very different.
No kidding.
Yeah. But this is a fun song.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I thought of playing was just some actual music from the industrial genre, so you could kind of hear those production elements and stylistic choices translate into 5 Seconds of Summer.
So we're kind of getting into the influences category now.
Yeah.
Not really the bass line. Okay.
Yeah, this is KMFDM, an industrial artist.
Die Wunder dieser Welt werden dir geschenkt. Glück ist nicht käuflich.
There's a sawtooth waveform,
yeah,
right?
There we go. Sehnsucht bleibt unerreicht.
All about the bass lines. Again, much longer intros.
I know.
Dark.
I always think of zigzags when I hear like grunge or something.
Yeah. So this is.
Wait. In your heart, so it's got the same kind of vibe.
Yeah, like I think of like guitars and basses, like prominent bass lines, guitars, synthesizers, and like drum machines.
When you think of industrial?
When I think of industrial. And I think, and that's where that 5 Seconds of Summer sort of pulls from for me. Dark, right?
Very.
Did you ever think you'd be listening to music this dark?
No. This would never be on my pop drive playlist.
Megalomaniac by KMFDM. All right.
Megalomaniac. Megalomaniac, all right.
Right.
Well, that wraps up the questions today.
All right.
Oh, wait, did you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay.
That was fun.
It was.
It's a good Spotify playlist, too. It's got some good tunes on it.
So, for you,
It's good, like, aggressive, like...
I don't know how I'd last a whole, like, 4 minutes listening to that. My ears would be, like, buzzing, like...
Go out and go out into the backyard and like do some like running warm ups or something. Get some aggressive energy out.
Yeah. Well, do you want to announce what we're doing next week?
Okay. So next week, we are going to return to an artist we've done once before.
Actually, in our lightning round, we did it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, but Ariana Grande holds a special place.
In our hearts.
And she has not one, but two notable collabs.
Recent.
As you kids call them. We used to call it duets. Now you call them collabs.
Duets, okay.
Two notable collabs. One on Save Your Tears,
We talked about Save Your Tears, episode 10, yeah.
Can you tell the listeners what the car was like when we discovered that they had just released that?
Save Your Tears remix featuring Ariana Grande. Oh my gosh.
You were like riding up 91. What was the car like? Was it loud?
Yes.
Were our heads
going?
Were our heads exploding?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the Demi Lovato Ariana Grande.
Yeah, so on Demi Lovato's new album, she has a song featuring Ariana Grande. Met him last night. That we'll be talking about. So it's kind of a combo episode, I guess.
Yeah. We'll.
So it's a.
We'll break down those two collabs, and maybe we'll talk about collaborations. It'll be a slightly different kind of episode for us.
But specifically an Ari collab episode.
Yeah,
she's just got, like, this title in our world.
Yeah. she sits on the throne.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it, I guess.
That's it. Thank you.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.